The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Monday, April 4th. Oh, may the 4th be with you? No, just kidding. That's for May.
Wow.
I was doing a Star Wars joke, but it didn't come across. This is actually Mock Draft Monday 8.0 in the feed. You can check out free agency grades for every single division. It's coming up more draft episodes, so stay tuned for those. And well, happy Masters Week, everyone. Prop games are back. The world's best golfers are teeing it up in Augusta, and we have an opportunity for you to win big bucks without even hitting a tee shot. You can win up to 25 grand, 25 smackaroos. Playing our props game this week by visiting cbssports.com/props or by downloading the CBS Sports app. The game is 100% free to enter. All you have to do is answer some questions, compete against the world for your chance to win a $10,000 first place prize. If you get every question right, it's 25 grand for you. Once again, to play, all you have to do is visit cbssports.com/props or on the CBS Sports mobile app. A link in the description is provided. Ryan Wilson, what's up, buddy?
Hey, hey, hey. How's it going?
Pro days. How much? Everybody's running a 4-4. Have you run a 4-4 yet? Kevin Boyard ran a 4-4, right, I believe?
He got it down to 4-1-5, I believe, by the time it was over. Yeah.
These, should we be skeptical about these pro day, 40 times? Cause they are quite quick.
They're all insanely fast. But I think the thing is that we sort of get caught up on in draft Twitter is that NFL teams aren't changing a whole lot based on what they see these guys do in person 40 times wise. So, I mean, 4.28s are great and I get all that. But I think if you had a fourth round grade in a guy, he's not going to magically become a first rounder because they're in a 4.28. Debo could talk, extensively about the Mike Mamula effect, the workout warrior.
Ouch.
That, the Eagles draft in the first round, it didn't work out.
Well, one guy who ran a unofficial 4.44 was Kyle Pitts, which considering he's 6'5", 245, hi, yi, 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 yi. Next Gen Stats says if that number is true, Pitts will be the sixth prospect in our database since 2003. By the way, really? You started doing Next Gen Stats in 2003 NFL? That's when you decided to start keeping track of this stuff? With a 99 production and athleticism score, the other athletes in that, the five other athletes to make that list, Mario Williams, NC State legend, who wasn't as good as he probably should have been, but what an incredible freak show athlete. Eric Berry, Berry Horse, Saquon Barkley, sheesh, Denzel Ward and Devin White. That is a good group of dudes to be associated with if you want to be an athletic freak. Let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Is the team that has the, like, it's, I guess it's the Falcons, Bengals, or Dolphins. I mean, you don't need a quarterback or you know, Falcons might in the future, but you know, you're not desperate for a quarterback right now. Should you just take Kyle Pitts?
Yeah, what I've been saying on radio recently is that Kyle Pitts feels like this year's Chase Young in terms of a layup draft pick, a guy you can take in the top five and not get worried about getting fired anytime soon. And I think that's exactly right. So it certainly feels like quarterbacks are going off the board 1, 2, 3. So at 4, where the Falcons are, do they take a quarterback? Does the new coach and new GM want to stick with Matt Ryan? Do they want to take an offensive lineman? So I think Falcons have quarterback, offensive line, tight end questions in terms of where they might go. The Bengals, you feel like they have to take an offensive lineman if Penei Sewell's there. But I mean, Kyle Pitts certainly makes a ton of sense. If the Dolphins were able to trade from 3 down to 12, back up to 6 and still get Kyle Pitts, that is, I mean, that is GM of the year honors right there wrapped up for Chris Greer, it feels like. So I don't think he gets past 6, Kyle Pitts.
Well, I'll be honest, like, I've watched some Kyle Pitts, but not a ton. How do you feel like he operates as a blocker?
He's actually, Pete always says he's not going to do much as a blocker. He can block. But by the way, you ain't drafting Darren Waller to block. You're drafting Darren Waller to destroy linebackers, safeties, cornerbacks. And that's what he does. And you mentioned the 40 time, 4.44 for Kyle Pitts. If he ran a 4.65, even a 4.75, I think Hockenson ran the 4.7s. He's still going to be the 4th, 5th, 6th overall pick. It does not matter. He is absolutely dominant. His wingspan, if I recall correctly, is the longest.
83 3/8.
That's longer than Mekhi Becton.
Longer than DK Metcalf. It's the longest by any wide receiver or tight end in the last 20 years. Is it longer than Mekhi Becton? That's insane. Just draft Kyle Pitts. It's very simple.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if I'm Atlanta or Miami, you know, I'm hoping, I mean, if I'm Atlanta, I'm probably just taking Kyle Pitts at 4. Now, if they take a quarterback, I won't begrudge him. If I'm Cincinnati, I'm probably thinking about taking Kyle Pitts, even though Ja'Marr Chase, got a heavy recommendation from Joe Burrow. So maybe they end up going in that direction. Ja'Marr Chase also ran a, did he run like a 4.440?
4.38, I think.
4.38. There you go. That's right. Yeah. 4.38, 40-yard dash. Yeah. Jane Slater was on the ground there recording that. He looked pretty fast. He's a freak athlete.
They had three receivers that ran the 4.3s there. Him, Terrace Marshall, who could end up being a first round pick, but I feel like he's more of a second rounder, and Racy McMath, who's a special teams demon and not as a returner, as sort of a gunner doing all the dirty work. And he's excelled at that. But, I suspect Racy McMath will go on day 3, but they all ran in the 4.3s.
There's like somebody, like people on, Twitter are like breaking down, like putting timers on this thing. Like, are you sure it's 4.38? It's more like 4.42. It's like, who cares?
Dude, just go watch him play. That's right. How you figure out whether a guy's fast or not.
I mean, it feels like Ja'Marr Chase and, so I don't think the Falcons will take Ja'Marr Chase because they have Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley. That would feel, although I guess if you're going to take Kyle Pitts, you could take those guys, right?
Yeah. I do wonder though, if you're the Falcons, whether the to-do list, Arthur Smith and Terry Fontenot, is, okay, quarterback, if we're settled on that, that's the first concern. Second concern, maybe you get an offensive lineman, because if Penei Sewell's there, I feel like he gives you more, it's so hard to, than Kyle Pitts because of the players that you just mentioned, and Julio Jones and Amari Cooper, Kyle Pitts / Ja'Marr Chase. But I do wonder if you're the Bengals at 5. So if you're the Bengals at 5, are you taking Penei Sewell if he's there, who's feels like also.
We'll do the mock draft after the break, but let's, I mean, I brought it up. I brought the wrong question. Pro days. No, it's fine. That wasn't my fault. It wasn't your fault. It's my fault.
My fault. You're so used to saying that.
I know. It's not my fault. Anybody else, stand out to you from LSU's pro day?
No, just the guys that I mentioned, three guys. Jabril Cox, the linebacker who transferred from North Dakota State the year before, didn't run for hamstring reasons. But he's a day 2 pick.
Did, Alabama have a second pro day? That's how many? That's ridiculous.
And Devontae Smith showed up and he ran some routes. His finger's still not 100%.
Mac Jones threw at the second pro day.
Yeah. I'm sure you were all over Twitter when he kept overthrowing receivers and they were cutting to Bill Belichick.
I didn't say a word about him.
It's funny. I've been asked about it on the radio where, he overthrew a couple of receivers and they smashed cut to Bill Belichick shaking his head.
Well, there was one where it was like he bombs it over the guy's head and like Josh Norris of, Underdog Fantasy now, a friend of the program, but he, Josh was like did a super cut where he throws it over his head and it cuts to Kyle Shanahan, and Kyle Shanahan has this like petrified look on his eyes, like, right. Oh, he looks like Joe Bluth when he's like, I've made a huge mistake.
He's the dog sitting in the room that's on fire.
But then Josh added on the Jimmy Garoppolo overthrow of Emmanuel Sanders in the Super Bowl. And it's like, oh, that's almost the identical play there. That's a shame. I thought Mac Jones looked fine. You know what I mean? I do agree. What was your line about his body? Like if he was like, looked like Tua or?
Oh yeah. You put his face on Tua's body and add 2 inches because he's 6'2". Tua's only 6'0". And no one's talking. He's like, oh, that guy's a top 5 pick all day long. But he looks like, to your point, he sells commercial real estate.
Yeah. It looks like he's like trying to sell you. You got to put your brewery in this warehouse, bro.
And by the way, he's goofy. Like he is straight up a goober I was texting with our buddy JJ. I don't think JJ will care that I said this about the pro day where, as it was going on live. And I said, yeah, he's just a, like, he's a goober. Like he's just sort of a goofy dude. He did an interview afterwards on NFL Network and he was goofy, not in a bad way, but he's not Russ Wilson. He's not Tom Brady was probably goofy like that. If you try to think back 25 years,
yeah,
but he's not,
he's aloof.
No. He's not Aaron Rodgers or Russ Wilson, who are very like robotic and by the book.
No, aloof. I don't think is
aloof means arrogant.
Oh, doesn't?
Do you record that, Devo? No, he's just like goofy.
I guess aloof means cool and distant. He's a goof, not aloof.
There you go. But in the very last play of the pro day, I don't know if you tuned in for the whole thing. They ran
a triple option. He called a touchdown pass.
Yeah, in honor of Navy and to impress Bill Belichick or whatever. But yeah, but it's not bad being goofy. And it's a stark contrast to what you see from Trevor Lawrence is a good example of a guy who isn't goofy. Justin Fields isn't goofy.
Joe Burrow's goofy, right?
Joe Burrow's cool. Like he was okay, goofy before 2019 happened. Yeah, 100%. He was just a goofy backup who also looks like he doesn't shave, but
Ryan Fitzpatrick goofy.
Yeah. Yeah. When you wear that shirt and have that hair, chest hair, the Hawaiian shirts and chest hair. Absolutely. But again, no knock on him. He's just different. Like he's not the, Tua's not goofy. Tua's very serious. Okay. Tua's very earnest, but whatever. Anyway.
Does this change your concern?
No, I think for the rest of the mock drafts, mock draft version 31 comes out today as you're listening to this. And I think I have two or three, maybe even four more to go. I think the rest of the way it's going to be my top three are going to be Trevor, Zach Wilson, and Mac Jones. I don't think unless something comes out where we find out that.
Well, you should only have like four more.
I think I do two the last week.
Okay. But let's say you have five more mock drafts. At this point, with the way that it's played out, you shouldn't be changing those top three.
Yeah.
And that's kind of boring, but that's okay. The draft can be like, you know, this happened with Carson Wentz and Jared Goff where, you know, the Rams and the Eagles made the trades. And once you knew who they were taking, there was no reason to do anything silly after that. You know, like you got to get your sillies out in March.
But I mean, look, Justin Fields could certainly be in the mix at number three, but,
sure.
Mac Jones feels like a guy who can play right away, especially if the plan, despite what the 49ers have said, the plan is to move on from Jimmy G and not let him roll into 2021 as the starter.
Well, if you're planting your flag in the Mac Jones with Mac Jones and there's all this buzz about Kyle Shanahan taking Mac Jones, you got to stick with Mac Jones at three.
Yeah. Okay.
Ohio State's pro day. Bama's Paradise featured a lot of guys, notably Justin Fields, measured 6'2" and just under 6'3", 227 pounds, 9 1/8 inch hands, had a wingspan of almost just shy of 75 inches. And I guess more importantly, I mean, least importantly, I don't know, 4.445 40 and had some bombs down the field.
Yeah, he looked – that's the type of pro day performance that – gets Twitter all hot and sweaty. I mean, his pro day was better than Zach Wilson's. Zach Wilson put on a show as well. But again, I always go back to this, and I love Justin Fields and I love Zach Wilson. I think they're all top 10 talents. But again, and I went back and looked at some YouTube clips because I was curious how insane it was. Johnny Manziel put on a helmet, wore camo, and as you mentioned, had the former president there, had all sorts of people. It was a circus show, and he put on a clinic. And he sucked. So at the end of the day, NFL teams want to see these guys in person. They want to see them throw. They want to see them make certain throws they didn't see them make during the season because that's the offense they're in or whatever. And I'm sure everyone came away incredibly impressed with Justin Fields. It's great that he ran a 4.4 and change. RG3 is the only other guy to run faster. And again, RG3 was good in 1 year and then injuries sort of curtailed his NFL career. But I like Justin Fields. He's my quarterback 4 after my guy, Mac Jones. But if he goes 3, I will not be surprised. If he goes 7 or 8, I will not be surprised. He's a good player. I know there's been some conversations about him being last in, first out. I think Dan Orlovsky said that on the Pat McAfee show and then had to.
But then walked it back, I think.
He sprinted backwards after some blowback. But look, here's the thing.
I'm not trying to dog Orlovsky, but like, I mean, it's 2021. I understand you want to get attention. If you get information, you want to be able to use that information to drive your profile, but like maybe let's not throw out unsubstantiated, unless you feel comfortable of like standing up to any backlash about it.
Yeah, you got to lean into it. If that's what you hear, that's what you're feeling. That's fine.
I mean, if you're gonna rip a young dude's work ethic, you better be confident that that's the case and not walk it back the second you get like any sort of backlash on it at all.
And I'm not trying to call it Orlovsky, but I mean,
no, he deserves to be called out. That's crap. If you're getting,
he's a 20-year-old kid who. I haven't heard anything about him being lazy, but if Orlovsky has, then, you know, own it, my man. But I mean, that kid now has to deal with that, has to answer questions about that. And then you can't use the excuse.
I mean, his own colleague, Kirk Herbstreit, came out and was like, what is he talking about?
Yeah, that was
the dude played against Clemson with like 4 broken ribs. Like, are we sure about this guy's work ethic?
If that's what you're hearing, you know, lean into it, but don't moonwalk it back and say, oh, I talked to some other people. I mean, this isn't your first rodeo. So
yeah, you couldn't, if you're not willing to stand up for it, you need to hold off on reporting it on the first place. Like, don't go out there and blast some kid's character unless you're willing to, you know, unless you're confident these sources are giving you the exact, like the 100% truth. Do not, you know, you better not, you know,
they're not smoke screening you.
Yeah. And look, I mean, like Bucky Brooks, you know, I mean, came out and
what Bucky didn't pull
it. Bucky Brooks tweeted, it always appears that certain quarterbacks are labeled as lazy or lacking great work ethic, while others are lauded for their IQ and mental capacities. It would be nice if we wouldn't routinely affix stereotypes to only black quarterbacks. Non-black quarterbacks never get these labels on TV. Weird, right? I mean, he's not wrong. You never hear like Mac Jones is the, you know, like the first, I mean, not like I'm saying Mac Jones is lazy at all. It's just, it always is the black quarterback. It feels like not the, it just is like,
my only thing is, look, if you were just, you know, if just starting out your own blog and you had 4 followers and you said that, there would be no one to hear it. But dude, you played in the NFL for nearly a decade. You've been on television for several years now. You know how this works. Come on.
No. Yeah. I mean, Justin Fields was like adamant that, like, he was like willing to like protest that the season was going to play. I don't know. It seems like.
Look, if he's lazy, own it. But I mean, don't be moonwalking it back is all I'm saying, because you got a little blowback for saying things you probably feel like you shouldn't have said.
Yeah. Yep. You're going to walk it back. Don't say it in the first place. Anyway, anything else from Ohio State's pro days? Trey Sermon, very good.
Trey Sermon's good. Look, I don't love him as much as some people do. It'll be interesting to see where he goes. He had sort of a up and down season. He finished strong and then got hurt, in the playoffs. Josh Myers, a center, he'll get drafted. He might get drafted day 2, definitely by early day 3. Wyatt Davis is a guy who didn't play quite as well as I was hoping he would play this season, but he's a first round talent that may end up going in round 2. And then Baron Browning is one of my favorite linebackers who is slightly undersized, but I would take him in mid bottom around 2, except the new age linebackers we've seen running all over the place, destroying people recently in the last 7, 8, 9 years.
The Miami Hurricanes had their pro day with a bunch of edge prospects, Gregory Rousseau, Jalen Phillips, notably. Did either guy stand out?
Jalen Phillips ran in the sub 4.5s. I mean, that's
crazy.
And Rousseau ran, I think, in the 4.7s, which is fantastic for his size. Yeah, 4.72. He just opted out this year, and he's less polished than Jalen Phillips. He's healthier. Jalen Phillips has an injury history, especially concussion history. But Jalen Phillips, to me, is the better player right now. It's just a matter of whether you're okay as an NFL team with his medicals. The 4.42, the 4.4 that he ran is fantastic, but the way he played is even better. And Rousseau, you just have to sort of project. He's not thin in the lower body. He just needs to add a few pounds. And is he going to continue to progress as a former wide receiver making the move?
It might even be a situation where, like, if you have a starting defensive end spot, Phillips is your guy. And if you have a rotational spot, Rousseau's like,
The Saints make a ton of sense for Rousseau in terms of Cam Jordan's there. There's not a lot of pressure. Hendrickson's gone. They could use a guy to come in. And
Marcus Davenport's still there.
That's the point, right? So you can sort of rotate, have the rotation.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
The Alden Smith sort of situation where, as a rookie, Alden Smith had 14 or 15 sacks. He didn't start one game.
But you don't need him to come in and be like an anchor against the run.
Right, exactly.
North Carolina's pro day, Javonte Williams has gotten some buzz. Did he increase that buzz? And how about Michael Carter? Chaz Surratt, former quarterback turned middle linebacker.
Yeah.
And ACC Defensive Player of the Year somehow.
He's good. What do you mean somehow? Who should it have been? Aleem McNeil?
No, it's a surprising plot twist.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and his brother, Sharad, who plays wide receiver Wake Forest, who opted out. Javonte made a 4.58, I believe, and some people on Twitter were like, oh my God, that ruins everything. No one cares. Like I think Josh Jacobs ran high 4.5s, maybe the 4.6. Javonte Williams is good, and he could end up being the first running back taken. definitely top three. Michael Carter, his running back, made it at, UNC. Probably late second, early third. He's so good. They're different players. Once Michael's a little smaller than Javonte. I think Michael ran 4.55. Chaz Surratt, we mentioned, he's still learning the position. Sometimes he's not as instinctive as you want a linebacker to be, but he played quarterback, but he's smart. He's fast. He makes a lot of plays. De'Ami Brown, I've talked to teams that like him in the second round. I don't love him. There are a lot of people that love him on Twitter. He doesn't quite do it for me, but a lot of teams are interested in him as a sort of a deep prospect, running deep routes all day long. And Daz Newsome was a slot guy, your typical 5'9", 5'10" slot guy who handles the middle. Had a better 2019 than 2020, but I don't think he goes in day two. I think day three is probably more likely for Daz Newsome.
Okay. And Texas A&M, notable because Kellen Mond trying to force his way to the Big Six quarterbacks. Is he doing that, or is he just too raw as a prospect?
No, he's not raw. He started all 4 years.
Is he not raw? I feel like he's like athletic, but like not polished.
Here's the thing. You're not far off. He is my number six quarterback right now too. I just redid the rankings and sent him to producer Jack last week. He played for 4 years. I watched him over the summers and go, this guy's so frustrating. He makes a ton of mistakes. He forces balls.
Yeah, I guess that's sort of what I meant. It's like, yeah.
Yeah. And then this year, 2020, he had some amazing games. He played insanely well against Florida. He beat Florida, played really well against Alabama, really good game against Arkansas. He did struggle against LSU and Mississippi State, I believe it was. But you can find every quarterback that struggled. But I love the way he plays. Ran 4.59. Certainly tall enough, almost 6'3". And my latest two-round mock draft, which comes out today if you're listening to this on Monday, I got the Steelers taking him in the second round. I'm mixing up. Usually I had him going, I think he's like a high third round guy. Davis Mills is another guy. Prisco loves Davis Mills out of Stanford. He's more of a traditional pocket passer, quote unquote. But I like, Kellen Mond as number six, Davis Mills is number seven, and Kyle Trask is number eight. And I think all those guys are definitely, off the board by the middle of the third round.
All right. Good stuff. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll look at Ryan Wilson's top 12 coming out of all of these pro days.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
All right, so we will laser in on the mock draft, but maybe you're still worried about baseball season, and if that's the case, you want to dominate your fantasy baseball leagues. Make sure and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5. Stay up to date. Frank Stanfill, Chris Towers, Scott White will have all the news, information, waiver wire advice, pitchers to stream in just 5 minutes or less. Download and follow anywhere you listen to this podcast. Baseball season's here. It's lovely. Draft season, baseball season, master season. What a week to be alive. Let's look at your top 12. As we mentioned before, you know, leading up to it, the top three is probably locked in. Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Mac Jones, Jaguars, Jets, 49ers in 49ers in that crazy trade. That seems like it's basically a done deal. And then it'll be fascinating to see how the next, I mean, obviously the draft starts with the Falcons, but the next 5 picks, maybe 6 picks are really interesting because you have Atlanta that could draft a quarterback, Cincinnati that could go offensive tackle or weapon for Joe Burrow, Miami at 6, almost certainly, you know, I guess they could go offensive tackle too, but feels like they're going to go weapon. And then Detroit and Carolina, what will they do? Will they draft a quarterback? And then you have Denver as well that would probably like to get a quarterback, but I don't know that they'll see one there.
Yeah.
So I don't know what kind of question that was. I guess you have the Falcons seeing Kyle Pitts in this latest edition of the exercise.
And we talked about it earlier, that their conversations, I would imagine, be quarterback, offensive tackle, and then Kyle Pitts. And that'll be one huge domino. You've talked about this before. The Panthers are not going to be able to trade up with the Falcons. Like, the Falcons ain't trading with the Panthers, even if it's for a San Francisco 49ers type haul, I don't think. So maybe the Broncos trade up it from 9. I mean, maybe that's a team.
I don't know that people have like realized this, but I mean, like, the Falcons redid Matt Ryan's contract to free up some salary cap space, right?
Okay.
This year, they're not cutting him this year. We've all agreed on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would be $65 million in dead cap space. Next year, if they cut him, it'd be $40 million in dead cap space. I don't think they're cutting him.
What's the post June 1 though? I think it's like down to 25 or something, isn't it?
Yeah. That's a weird thing when you cut Matt Ryan after, it would be a post June 1 trade or cut would be $25 million in dead cap space. You would save almost $24 million in cap space. So yeah, I mean, that's plausible, but you don't get that space until June 1.
Like, right. You know? Yeah, that's right. You can announce it or whatever, but
yeah, you can cut them all you want, but you won't get it until June 1. So I don't know. I think you're going in the right direction here by giving them Kyle Pitts. They, you know, you could make the case that they draft a tackle, but they have Jake Matthews who's still playing at a high level, and they drafted Caleb McGarry in the first round of 2019. So
yep.
I think you're looking at, you know, Arthur Smith and Dave Ragone come in and think that they can coach this offensive line up. I think they're just a lot more likely to take a weapon like Kyle Pitts.
It's funny. Every time we say Arthur Smith, I'm thinking Arthur Blank. I was like, Arthur Blank's not a coach this team.
I know, right?
I was on Matt Tabeek's, Bird Noises podcast when he was with the Falcons a couple weeks ago. He asked me, give me your thoughts on Arthur Smith. And I started by saying, I love Home Depot, because I thought that's a weird question. He's asking me about Arthur Blank,
but anyway. Like, I love Lowe's.
I came back and said, I love FedEx. Is that his thing? UPS? Yeah. What is he?
Well, his dad's FedEx, right? Yeah. Then you have the Bengals going Penei Sewell at 5 instead of Ja'Marr Chase. I think that's the responsible thing to do, but yeah, I think they might try to make Burrow happy by going Ja'Marr Chase.
So if you're the Bengals and you have the 5th pick and then you pick at the top of the third round, at the top of the second round, are you taking slam dunk offensive tackle and then circling back and getting, the 6th wide receiver? Or are you taking slam dunk Ja'Marr Chase and then getting the 6th or 7th offensive tackle?
Well, who's better, the 6th offensive tackle or the 6th wide, like?
The 6th wide receiver is probably better.
I mean, I think that's the play. The question is, if you go, so the problem is, like, we don't know where they are with their evaluation of, Jonah Williams, because, and we talked about this, maybe Jonah Williams slides inside and he plays guard.
Yeah.
And then you know, you have Penei Sewell at tackle. You know, they signed Riley Reiff in the offseason, so it feels like they're sort of committed to those tackles. They have T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd at wide receiver. They could certainly use one more guy. I mean, you know, Alden Tate has flashed at times, but if you threw in Ja'Marr Chase with that group, you know, you can start to see something coming together for the Bengals offensively.
Yeah, so I had him take a Penei Sewell and then Rashad Bateman, who ran in the fourth. Sub-4.4s, which I'm sure is no surprise, the Minnesota wide receiver at the top of the second round. And that ain't a bad haul. Rashad Bateman ain't Ja'Marr Chase, but his 2019 season was much better than 2020. He had COVID, the pandemic, Big Ten, all that are reasons why. So I don't hate Penei Sewell and Rashad Bateman, but Ja'Marr Chase and someone like Dylan Raddatz out of North Dakota State would be the alternative. And I think I'd rather have Sewell and Bateman.
Okay. And then you have the Dolphins going Ja'Marr Chase and, sure. I think for Miami, it's Ja'Marr Chase or Kyle Pitts. Who's there for us? And if you're, I guess you're daggered if the Falcons and Bengals go Kyle Pitts and Ja'Marr Chase, but.
Meh, you got Devontae Smith, you got Jalen Waddle.
Yeah, or you could take an offensive tackle if you think.
Penei Sewell will definitely be there if those, two teams go in the direction you just mentioned.
I mean, they invested a first round pick in Austin Jackson. But you know,
yeah, but you have Austin Jackson, you have Penei Sewell playing on the right side, and you have Robert Hunt, their second round pick last year, kicked inside. I mean, that's.
Or you move Austin Jackson to the right side, let Penei Sewell play left side. I mean, it's not like Austin Jackson was a top 5 pick.
No, but he was like a top 20 pick.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm just saying, you can move those guys around. it, and they have, yeah, I mean, I think Miami's in a really good spot to take what comes to them in the draft to be happy with it. And then the Lions at 7, Justin Fields, Panthers at 8, Trey Lance, the Broncos get daggered, but I think you feel pretty good if you're Detroit and Carolina that you were able to get a top five quarterback, without moving away off of 7 and 8.
Yeah, this is the first time since January, I believe, that had the Lions taken a quarterback, certainly since Jared Goff. But I just can't imagine that they're sold on Jared Goff as a long-term answer if Justin Fields is sitting there. I feel like you have to take Justin Fields. You can't just roll with Jared Goff and fingers crossed hope that it happens. I think the Panthers would probably love to have Justin Fields fall to them, and maybe they try to move up. I mean, are the Bengals ever going to trade down in the history of
– that's the thing is I don't think Atlanta wants to move down. I think Atlanta would move down for the right price. Maybe not with Carolina. I think that'd be tough. I don't think Cincinnati's moving down, and Miami obviously wants to draft at 6 because they lost a first rounder to move back up to 6. So I think if the Falcons take someone at 4, 5 and 6 are stagnant, and if you're the Lions and the Panthers, you feel pretty good that you're going to get one of those quarterbacks.
Yeah. No, I think the Lions, if they're staring Justin Fields in the face, they're taking him. There's no, I mean, why? What are you going to do? Take Micah Parsons? Come on.
Yeah. And I have no problem with the Lions drafting players because they need bodies. But yeah, I mean, if you think Justin Fields is the guy, you definitely take him. And then, you know, the rest of the top 10, I think rounds out pretty, I will say obviously. I mean, Patrick Surtain makes a lot of sense for the Cowboys there. I think they'll certainly go defense. And Jaylen Waddle for the Giants. That's interesting. I don't know that they definitely go off like wide receiver after signing Kenny Galladay.
They have Sterling Sharp and they have Darius Slayton. I mean, you have room for one more legit below the top off the covers playmaker. They can go offensive line there. I have had them take an offensive line and Giants fans yell and scream about it, but they need to help along the offensive line.
Yep. And Rashawn Slater for the Eagles at 12. I don't think you can be too mad about that if you're Debo. Maybe make the case you want Devontae Smith instead. I take it back. Eagles fans will scream if they take an offensive lineman there, even though it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, probably. I mean, Devontae Smith fills a need, but it doesn't matter if you have Devontae Smith wide ass open if Jalen Hurts is running for his life because no one can block.
Yep, exactly. All right, that's the top 12. That's the Mock Draft 8.0 for the podcast. Mock Draft 30 for Ryan Wilson. 31 is coming up this week. Wilson, we will. I'm sure we will chat again many, many times in the coming days.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.